Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of The Comic Source. I'm your host, Jace. This is another Spawn Daily episode. We're up to issue 76. And I gotta say, this might be my favorite issue of the series so far. I've never gone so far as to call Spawn a romance comic, but I certainly have talked about it as being a love story. I talked to Todd about that when he was on the show in January. And this issue maybe illustrates that better than any issue to date. It really is all about the love that Al Simmons has for Wanda, and it's really a story of Granny Blake, and as she gives some of her history and us readers learn about what she's been through in her life, it really provides some context. She's really kind of a mentor in a lot of ways to Spawn, giving him advice and kind of grounding him with everything that Al's been through recently, ever since he died. Basically, it's been nonstop. Bad things have been happening to Al, so it's great that he finally gets to catch a breath, right? I mentioned that last issue where it's just been nonstop. He's been overwhelmed, and now he has this new ability to sense the emotions and the pain of planet Earth. It was called a gift, but one of those gifts, like, be careful what you wish for. He certainly didn't want this gift. But it falls on him even more to stop the war between heaven and hell and protect mankind. Kind of an unsung hero in a lot of ways. So I'll dive into the issue in a second. Just a reminder, in case you're not aware of what's going on, Spawn Daily reviewing one issue of the regular series of Spawn every day. But some days we're going to do ancillary series. We're going to do tie-ins. We're going to do minis. We're going to do one-shots, that sort of thing. And the reading order that we're using is put together by a gentleman named Blake Whitlow. There's a link in the show notes, whether you're watching it on YouTube or you're checking it out on the LRM website or the Comic Source website. You can find a link to that Google document, basically, and you can read ahead or know what's coming up and have an idea. Or maybe you need to get caught up and you want to know what we've read so far and what have you. You can go and check that out. It's a great resource. So let me go ahead and share the book here. We'll get started. Great cover, obviously. Really goes hand in hand what I was saying about this being a story about the love that Al has for Wanda, and to a lesser extent, the love that that she has for him. Granny references that as well, but Granny Blake being in the background there, really showing how much of this issue is about her as well. So fantastic cover by Capullo. We get inside the front cover. Same two writers that we've had for the last few issues. It's Todd McFarlane. It's Brian Holguin. Dwayne Turner actually handles the pencils for this issue rather than Greg Capullo, and he does a fantastic job. You'll see as we go through it. Danny Mickey on the inks with special thanks to Scott Dude Kobayashi, and then copy editor and letterer, as always, Tom Orzechowski. And a little recap there for the last issue. You probably watched the video or listened to the podcast. Spawn went to this other place, this realm of the green world, and was given that gift that I was referring to, those powers. And basically, yeah, he needs to stop the war between heaven and hell. He needs to protect the Earth. The Earth is suffering from all the pollution and overuse of its resources and what have you. It's a big job, right? And what's interesting, this is all the way back in 98, that McFarlane and Holguin are talking about this. If anything, it's only got worse now. A lot more talk about global warming and that sort of thing. But interesting that they were referencing it even back then, 25 years ago, over 25 years ago. So how's he going to do that? What's the next step for him? Like I said, this is a bit of an interlude, a bit of a chance for him to catch his breath and take a break, which I feel like he needs before he's going to try to fulfill the mission that the green world has given him. So as you turn to the first page, this issue is actually narrated by Granny Blake, which is interesting. And at first, I wasn't sure. It sort of sounded like it was her narrating just from the voice and the context. But at the same time, you wonder, okay, is this a Granny Blake in the future that's thinking back to this night when she talked to Al, or is it happening in real time? I think I've come around to realizing it's happening in real time. So she's in the cemetery, and we'll get to the reason why in just a second. But you see Spawn is there as well, kind of looking over her as he's wont to do. And we're getting a chance to hear Granny's thoughts, and she's talking about wondering what Spawn sees since he came back to life. Not the second time, because she's not even aware of him being in that dead zone area and losing his powers and being killed. But she's talking about, him being gone for 5 years and coming back. And she wonders if when you come back after you've died, do you see the earth, do you see reality differently because you've seen the other side, you've seen how beautiful heaven is, and she assumes Hal went to heaven. Or is it a disappointment to come back to earth because heaven is so great and earth is not? Or is it, again, great to, see old family, old friends or whatever? And she also mentions, this is interesting, especially with her being blind. She's like, I wonder what he sees when he closes his eyes. What is it that haunts him? She can tell that this isn't the same man that she knew when he was alive. He's obviously carrying a lot of baggage and what have you. And she doesn't know all the details. She doesn't know about Malbolgia and the deal he made and what have you. But she has a really good feel for kind of the emotional health of Al. So it's really interesting. But she knows that he's come back. She thinks of him as an angel. And she wonders what secrets, right? What did he learn in the afterlife? What is he holding back? What is he not allowed to talk to? And that sort of thing. So, as I said, Granny's in a graveyard. We see on this next page, she talks about Spawn being or Al being in darkness, and the fact that there's a lot of different types of darkness, right? Like she lives her life in darkness, being blind. But there again, there's a lot of different types of darkness. So she's actually at the grave of her husband, her late husband, Jack, and she's reminiscing. She's thinking about old times, dancing with him before he went off to war, and just like she can't believe that they were ever that young, and how much she misses him, and how they had a lot of good years, and she's very thankful for that. Unlike Al and Wanda, very soon after they were married, Al was killed, and so we get a chance to see the headstone there, and it has the dates. He was born in 1920, passed away in 1965. So relatively young, only 45 years old. And she does say that's one thing about the women in her family, right? The Blake family, they were always able to spot a good man when they saw one. So as she's standing there reminiscing, she senses that Al's there. It's almost like she has a sixth sense for him. And it's a great splash page. Al kind of approaches her tentatively. And she says, it's okay, Al. I know you're there. You can come out. Again, she's probably known he was there for a really long time. And Spawn, he's just looking for someone to talk to, especially somebody who was a part of his old life. And it probably helps that Granny's blind because he doesn't feel judged by the way he looks, I suppose you'd say. And that's part of it too, right? We know he can change his appearance, use up some of his energy, but he can only turn into a blonde surfer guy, right? So that's not what he wants to do. He wants to talk to Granny, and Granny still talks to him the way she would have talked to him had he still been alive. So he doesn't. Al does mention some concern for her. Hey, you shouldn't be out here after dark, what have you? And Granny's not worried about it. She's like, I got my guardian angel to look out for me, and she's referring to Al. Himself, and really, it's like she's probably lived so long. She misses her husband, and she's very strong in her faith, her belief in God. So she's probably like, if something bad's gonna happen, it's gonna happen. I'm not gonna worry about it. But she does ask what's troubling him. Like I was saying earlier, she really is kind of this emotional barometer, and she can tell when something is bothering him. And he says, well, what do you mean about what's bothering me? And it's great what she says. She's like, I might be blind, but I'm no fool. Now out with it, what's bugging you? And so he can't give her details, right? Can't really explain, but he says, something happened to me. It's very strange. I can't really explain it, but I feel different. I can feel the world. I can feel the city. I can feel all the pain. I can feel your sadness. That's why I followed you. She's missing her husband. And Granny's th thinking to herself, she's like, he's always so cryptic. And he always has been, even before he left. But I got to get him to open up to me. I got to get him to tell me his secrets, which, again, that heart of gold that Granny Blake has, where she wants to help. And she feels like if she has more information, she'll be able to help Al better. And he mentions that he's, with everything that's been going on, he's afraid he's losing himself. He came back because of Wanda. That's the thing that sort of defined him. But as more and more time goes by with him being Spawn, he feels like he's forgetting the things that happened in his previous life. He feels like he's forgetting Wanda. And now he's being overwhelmed by all the pain in the world. He's thinking, how could God ever allow this? And Granny's thinking, he's kind of whining in a way. She doesn't really use that word. But what she does say to us readers is that sometimes everybody just needs someone to talk to, right? Somebody to listen, not necessarily provide solutions or answers or what have you, but just listen. So you have, have a chance to vent. And when Al says, how could God ever allow this? She's like, oh, don't you blaspheme. You're just feeling sorry for yourself. Again, that kind of that whining. And that's okay. Sometimes you go through some hard times and you can feel sorry for yourself. And everybody goes through that. You lost the woman you love, you died, you came back for her and found out she married somebody else. But just because she's moved on doesn't mean she's forgotten you. She still thinks about you all the time. She's my grandchild, believe me, I know. And that does seems to make Al feel better. And he's like, well, she's the only thing I ever wanted in my life, the only thing that ever made sense. But if anything, now that I'm back, I feel less and less every day like the man who married her. It just fades away a little more. And Granny's like, that's BS. She calls him on it. And he's like, what? He goes, that's nonsense. She's like, man, for someone so bright, you don't know a lot about the heart. And she says, let me tell you about me and Jack, right? Did I ever tell you that story? And so we get this fantastic art again from Duane Turner, sepia tones, where Granny Blake is narrating and explaining how she was working at this diner during the wars, would be World War II. And this soldier would come in. He was a member of the Tuskegee Airmen. He wanted to do his duty. His name was Jack. It was kind of love at first sight. They both really kind of fell head over heels for each other. But it was also a little sad and a little risky because she knew that he was going to go off to war. So he's going through this flight training. And in the back of her mind, selfishly, she's thinking, man, in a way, I hope he fails so he'll be safe and he can stay with me. But, a fleeting thought. She never really wanted that, because she knows that this was a good man. He wanted to do his duty. And the day he got his wings, he was so proud. And, you see the tears of joy in her eyes as she's hugging him once he's actually a pilot. And so then they get engaged the night before he goes off to war. There's a big dance. And this is what she was referencing earlier about how they just danced and danced and danced. And they were so close. It was almost as if they were one person. And she made him promise when he left that he would come back to her. I mean, really have control over it. But he does say, I promise I'll come home to you. I'll be watching you from the skies. And, kind of that romantic feel. And then, of course, during the war, he's fighting and he's writing her letters and what have you. And she mentions how she read those letters so many times. Even now, all these years later, she has them memorized. And he did keep his promise. And he did come home. And they were married. And it was the happiest day of her life. But really, life was just beginning for them. And he went on to become a lawyer, fighting for the little guy, civil rights, and fighting against the mob and the government and unions and that sort of thing. Because again, it was just who he was. He always wanted to stand up for the little guy. And she thinks about the last night that she ever saw him. They had they'd gone to a movie, and it was raining, and they were going to have a kind of a night out to their own without their kids. They had a couple kids by this time. And so Jack goes to get their car and pull it up so she doesn't have to walk so far in the rain, and sticks the key in the car, turns ignition, and the car blows up, right? So again, it took on a lot of people. It could have been the government, more likely the mob. You think about a car bomb, it's a very mob thing to do. Maybe one of those unions back in the day that he took on. And that's how she lost her eyesight. So last thing she ever saw was him running across the street to get the car, and then the car blowing up when he turned the key. So very sad. And even though she lost her eyesight, she says, after that, I didn't really care much if I saw anything ever again because I knew I was never going to see my husband again. So Spawn's a little taken aback by this. It is a little surprising, being how close he was with Wanda, that Wanda never re relayed the story, or he hadn't heard from Granny before. But he says, "I'm so sorry, I didn't know." And Granny's very philosophical about it, and I guess you can be when you get to be her age. Again, kind of the same thing with being out late at night. You don't have to worry about it too much. But she says, into each life a little rain must fall. The one thing I do regret is I never got to look him in his eyes and say goodbye, and dance with him one last time. But I had a good life. I raised the kids, and then they gave me grandkids, and then Wanda grew up and married you, and then she, after you were gone, she married Terry, and now I have a great grandchild. So I really couldn't ask for much more. I really can't complain. But I guess I do get lonely sometime, but most of all, I have faith that Jack and I will be together someday. And this is what you need as well. This is why she's relaying the story. She says, you need to have some patience because this life is just a flicker and forever is a much longer time. And that's when you'll be with Wanda. You guys are meant to be together forever, in the afterlife or eternity or what happens, whatever, comes next. That's her belief anyway. And so he's pretty touched by this. And Granny says, I do wonder what it was like. Can you tell me? Remember she was speculating about this at the very beginning of the issue. She's like, can you tell me what it's like? Do you remember anything from the afterlife? I mean, you were a war hero. You took a bullet for the president. That must have rolled out the red carpet. And again, a great page here from Duane Turner. He's imagining meeting Malbolgia and all the demons and the hellfire and whatnot. Definitely not what Granny is probably picturing in her head, right? And he says, I really can't say much. Let's just say it wasn't what I was expecting. And he says it sort of hesitantly. And Granny says, "What? Are you okay? Is something wrong?" And Spawn says, "Granny, I want you to come with me. I have an idea." And he takes her to the dead zone, takes her to that spot in the alley where the powers of heaven are very close. Maybe the wall between heaven and earth is very thin there, in a way, the membrane that keeps them separate. And so he says, "Give me your hand. I'm going to lead you somewhere." And she says, "Oh, I'm feeling strange." He's like, "Trust me. This is as far as I can go. But you need to keep walking forward." And she says, "Well, what's going to happen now? Where are we?" And he said, "Well, it's a place called, that's a heavenly crossroads. It's called the Dead Zone." And Granny's like, "Well, Dead Zone? I don't like the sound of that." And he's like, "Don't worry, it'll be fine, I promise." And as she's walking forward, getting closer to this portal to heaven, she's thinking that, next thing I know, I've this weird sensation, feel like I'm being wrapped in electricity. And on the page, she's thinking, I feel so different. And Spawn keeps imploring her, "Hey, walk forward. I'm sorry I can't go with you, but I'll be right here." And the reason that she's feeling so different is it's the power of heaven, the power of heaven to heal her, to make her younger. She can see again. She's in her what looks to be her wedding dress, and she's re recollecting this or relaying this to us. And she's like, "It was a couple steps that I took after I could see again, before I realized I could see." And she's like, "How did you do this? This is so great." And he says, "Just keep going." Spawn says, "Just keep going forward. Just keep going forward. There's a glowing door ahead of you. You need to walk through that." And she says, she felt a buzzing around her with each step. It was this warm, sweet glow, and she felt pulled forward. And she kept thinking how beautiful it was, and that she was going to wake up any second from this dream she was having, where she could see and she was young again. And then it happened, the miracle. That's the way she refers to it. Like, it's not already a miracle with her being young and being able to see, but she steps through the portal and there is Jack. And it's, again, just a fantastic page from Duane Turner. She's got tears in her eyes, tears just streaming down. You can see the look of shock and surprise on her face. Jack's got a smile. There's my girl. He's as happy to see her, at least as happy to see her as she is to see him. And she's getting that last wish. She talked about the thing that she regretted. While she was very grateful for the time they did have together, she never got a chance to look in his eyes one last time, to have that one last dance. And Jack gives her the same line he gave her the very first time he met her. He says, "You have the most beautiful eyes, ma'am." And they embrace and they kiss and they start dancing. And as Granny's relaying the feeling to us, she uses the same words that she used when she was telling Spawn about them dancing. It's like, we danced so close, it felt like we were one person. I never wanted to let go. And they have all of eternity to spend together. And Granny thinks that's what's happening here, right? Like, she's done. She doesn't have to go back. She can stay with him forever. But that's not to be. Jack says, I have to go. Live the rest of your life, make the most of it. I'll be here waiting for you. I'll be watching you from the skies, which again, a great callback to the same thing he said before he left, with the Tuskegee Airmen to fight in World War II. I'll be watching you from the skies. And he's like, yeah, I always have, I always will, I'll protect you. So maybe it's not so much that guardian angel of Al Simmons that Granny was referring to at the beginning of the issue, and she's not worried about being out late at night. Maybe she's referring to Jack. Could go either way. So she says, I love you, Jack. I will always love you. And she goes walking back out the door, and she says, oh, Al, this is so fantastic. I don't know how you did it. A real miracle. And Spawn says, wait, don't cross the threshold. Stay where you are. You can stay young. You can have your sight. You can be with Jack. And as she's approaching the door, and he gets a chance to look at her, because before, when Granny first was enveloped by this heavenly power and she turned young, she was walking away from Al. He couldn't really see her face. And as she's approaching the door, he sees her, and he's taken aback. He's like, oh my God, you look exactly like Wanda. And she implores him to walk closer. She's like, I want to see what my guardian angel looks like. So maybe it is Spawn, maybe it's Jack, maybe it's both. But he says, no, I can't. She doesn't want him to, doesn't want her to see him. You know how embarrassed he is about the way he looks, even when he's in his costume. She said, no, hush. I'm 21 years older than you. I may not look like it. Or no, she says, sorry, she's more than 21 years older. She says, I may look like I'm 21, but I'm still older than you. Do as you're told or what have you. And when he comes closer, she does like the way he looks. I don't know. Maybe it's the whips, or the chains and the spikes and the cape. She says, oh, you look beautiful. Maybe it's just that, she can see past all the kind of demonic, symbology, if you will, and just see that it's still Al. She can see his goodness, his heart. And so she gives him a kiss and says, thank you, Al. Obviously this was a big deal for her to be able to see her husband who's been gone, for so long. But as she crosses the threshold, she ages, she loses her sight again. But she's still crying. She says, as she steps through the doorway, everything went dark again. She, ages back up to her real age. And she tells Al, you made an old woman very, very happy. But she reminds him of the lesson that she wanted him to learn, right? And you see, it's forever that counts. The world's, full of men who will march into hell for a pretty girl, but the good ones will literally open the gates of heaven for her, which is what Spawn just did. So, I mean, Al Simmons really, his heart really is in the right place. And you sort of feel bad for Terry, because even Granny senses it, right? It's like, Terry's a good man, but he's not Wanda's soulmate like you are. So you feel bad. Like, so when Terry passes away and goes to the afterlife, he has nobody, lonely in the afterlife. I don't know that I ever believe in that soulmate stuff, but it's a nice thought, right? When you find that one person or what have you. But Granny reminds him, she's like, you're hurting right now because you can't see past Wanda. You're worried about doing the wrong thing and failing. And I know God's got something big planned for you. Otherwise, he wouldn't have brought you back. So you need to let go of Wanda for a little bit and have a little faith, have a little patience, and take care of what you need to take care of, because then in the end, you'll be able to be with her. Just again, have a little faith. She's like, it loves hard, and you got to work at it. And sometimes that means doing the hard thing and letting her go, at least for a little while. So, if it wasn't hard, then everybody would do it, which is, she's got a good point there. So then the scene shifts to the Fitzgerald household. We see, Wanda's holding Cyan. They're kind of dancing around, and then all of a sudden they're flying. They're floating off the ground, which Wanda freaks out. And when she freaks out, they fall. So was this Wanda exhibiting powers? Was it Cyan? I tend to think it probably was Cyan. But as they kind of fall to the ground, Cyan cries out, "Hey, it's him. He's here. He's here. Hurry, mommy, hurry." And so they go running to the door, and there's a flower, there's a rose on the front porch. And Cyan says, "The sad man left a, I know it was him. He's back." And the flower's so pretty, and we're getting Granny's thoughts about what's going to happen next, and how she really thinks that Al needs to find a way to say goodbye to Wanda, at least for now. Even though he'll still be keeping an eye out for her, and he needs to go off and find out what really lies ahead for him, what his mission is, that she believes is from God, find the answers he's looking for. And then when he finds his path, no matter how hard and long that journey is, she thinks at the end of the path is inevitably Wanda and Al being together. And if not in this world, then in the next. So as she's thinking that, we see that Spawn is looking over the house. He's in the tree and back in the forest, what have you, looking over it. And he says, "No matter what it takes." And he kind of trails off. And of course, that means that no matter what it takes, he's going to be with Wanda in the end. So that's how the issue comes to a close. So, like I said, very much this romance story, this love story about soulmates and how much it means to have somebody that you really care about, and you can move heaven and earth. You can open the gates of heaven, the way Al did for Granny Blake here. So I'll call out the Dwayne Turner art one more time, just how amazing it is. I especially liked the well, seeing the heaven pages, even though the backgrounds are a little light, are great to see with Granny Blake in her wedding dress. But the other thing that's fantastic is when Granny's telling the story about her life with Jack, and how the coloring, especially, it's these sepia tones, and they're almost these montage pieces, and I think it just works really, really well, to tell a story of their life together over a relatively quick span of pages. So fantastic job, not just by Dwayne Turner, but also by the color artist Brian Haberlin, along with Dan Kemp and Tyson Wengler too. I'm not sure that I mentioned his name. He joined as a third colorist on this as well. So again, really fantastic issue. We're going to take a break from the main series for the next couple of episodes. And as I said earlier, always one episode per regular issue of the series. But if it's one of those minis or a one shot or a tie-in or ancillary series, sometimes we'll do more than one issue per episode. But we've got 3 issues of Curse of Spawn, excuse me, coming up next. And they're all kind of standalone issues. So it doesn't really make sense to lump them together. So the next 3 episodes will all be just one issue of Curse of Spawn. Again, you can go check out the link in the show notes to the reading order from Blake Whitlow and see what numbers they are. I think it's, I want to say like it's issue 22, issue 25, and then issue 29 of Curse of Spawn. And again, they're almost like what if Spawn tales, if you will. But they're pretty interesting. They'll be relatively short episodes because I won't say not a lot happens, but because there's nothing to talk about in terms of context outside of those issues, because they're completely standalone. There won't be a lot to break down in terms of anything that you needed to know to understand those issues or anything that they have to do going forward. I mean, as far as I know, the events in those issues don't have any bearing on any future Spawn issues or events. And I'm getting that from, again, the reading order by Blake. He's got some notes that these stories may or may not be in canon. So again, I don't think that they really show up, any of the characters or events really show up in later issues of Spawn, but I think they are worth reading. They're fun. The art's fantastic. Great color work as well. So that'll be the next 3 issues, but, appreciate everybody joining as always. Don't forget, if you're not subscribed on YouTube, please go over there and subscribe. Even if you always just listen to the audio podcast feed, I really appreciate it. I'm desperately trying to get to 500 followers, 500 subscribers on YouTube so I can monetize. I've never charged my content. I never will. I want you guys to enjoy my love of comics and discover your own love of comics. And so on. There'll never be a barrier to entry. But I can make a little money from people watching these videos on YouTube to help offset the cost of hosting my website and hosting all the audio files and all that sort of stuff. It does add up. I have to pay for not only my domain, the ComicSource blog, .com every year, which I think it's up to like $400 a year now, but then I also have to pay to have the website hosted. So it's not cheap. It's gotten a lot more expensive over the last few years, just like everything else has. So again, really appreciate everybody going over there and subscribing. Let your friends know to subscribe. Let them know that these episodes are out there if anybody wants to learn more about Spawn. And again, if you guys want me to start covering the current stuff that's coming out in terms of Rat City and Sam and Twitch case files and that sort of stuff, let me know. Let me know in the comments. And rather than waiting until I get to it in the reading order, maybe I can find some time to start covering that stuff now. We'll see. But anyway, that's going to do it for this episode, everybody. Appreciate you listening and joining as always, and we will talk to you next time.